Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Don't be afraid to come in sooner than your visit. So let's say you have a visit coming up, but you're not feeling your baby move as much this week, but you're like, oh, I have a visit in a couple days. We'll get it checked out then. It's fine. No, don't wait. Always come in. If you ever have that mom sense that something's going on, we would rather you come, okay? Come. Please come in and get it checked out. You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the tools, knowledge, and confidence you need to erase the unknowns, feel in control, and have an even better birth, no matter how you deliver. My name is Liesl Teen, mom of two, practicing labor and delivery nurse, and your host. From over 8 years and counting of working at the bedside, I know that knowledge is the key to an even better birth. So tune in each week to learn about all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum from me, a labor and delivery nurse that's seen it all. And now let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. We are doing an episode today all about your prenatal visits. I'm going to be giving you 10 helpful ways to rock these visits. And I'm also going to just talk about some of the general things that you do at each appointment, just so we get a nice little baseline. But I've got some really helpful tips for you guys today to rock those prenatal appointments, because we all have them, right? If you're pregnant, please go to your prenatal appointments. But if you're pregnant, you're going to go to your prenatal appointments. So this episode is for everybody. All listeners can benefit. So without further ado, let's get right into this week's episode. All right. So before we dive into some of these tips, I'm going to go over on how to rock your prenatal appointments. I think it's going to be helpful to just go over basics, right? What will happen at each appointment, or what's supposed to happen at each appointment? Because really at the heart of it, these prenatal appointments are just, they're like little check-ins, right? Your provider's just checking in with you, making sure there's no red flags going on that we need to check into more, right? So by doing some of these routine screenings at each appointment, which we're going to talk about, we can actually gather a lot of info and spot potential issues before they become not so good anymore. And that's why keeping up with the ACOG recommended prenatal care schedule is so important. And just to reiterate what that is, weeks 4 through 28, you'll have an appointment about every 4 weeks. Weeks 28 to 36, you'll start having appointments every 2 weeks. And then weeks 36 to birth, you'll have an appointment every week. All right, so what's going to happen at each of these visits? Number one, we're going to do a weight check, right? Typically, the first stop when you get to the prenatal clinic is they put you on the scale. And really, the main purpose for these check-ins is just to check for sudden jumps in weight. Weight gain mainly, but weight loss also. And friendly reminder, or women, right? So a lot of women have issues with just the scale in general. I know I did for a really, really long time until I got into intuitive eating, and now we're okay. We're good. But a lot of people just have issues with seeing that number and seeing that number rise consistently, even though, you know, it may well be within a normal range, right? It can lead to some stress and anxiety. So I have a tip for you. If that weight at the beginning of your prenatal visits is causing you a lot of stress, just turn around. Just get on the scale and turn around. You don't have to look in the number. They'll let you know. If there's really something going on and you're having an excessive weight gain, or something's going on with your weight medically, your provider will let you know. But really, you don't have to know the number. Who cares? Next thing we'll do is take a urine sample. Yep. So got to pee in a cup, right? And the reason we do this is we're screening for if you're having excess sugar in your urine or excess protein. This is telling us if you're starting to get gestational diabetes or preeclampsia. Obviously, if you're having any white blood cells in there or blood or anything, if you have infections, your urine sample can give us guidance on, you know, if you've got an infection too. But really, it's mainly for checking for preeclampsia, the presence of protein, and, you know, if you've got sugar in there too. The next thing is a blood pressure check. Yes, going off of preeclampsia, right? We want to make sure that your blood pressure is nice and normal during that pregnancy. So we're going to check it with each visit. Because high blood pressure can be an indicator of preeclampsia or gestational hypertension. There's a difference between the two. And really, we're, you know, looking for that. We also want to make sure it's not too low, right? But it is important to note that low blood pressure is considered a normal part of pregnancy because as your blood volume increases, so does the diameter of your veins. So typically, your blood pressure does drop just a little bit from like your normal baseline because of that. Another thing we're going to do at these prenatal visits is listen to that baby's heartbeat, right? So once your provider comes in, they'll have you lie down and use a fetal Doppler. If it's one of your very early appointments, they might do vaginal ultrasound. But once you get past that first trimester, you can usually just do a little Doppler right on your abdomen. It's not like an internal exam anymore or anything. And yeah, we get that heartbeat. Another thing your provider is going to do once you hit that 20-ish week mark is start checking a fundal height. And this is a measurement that's taken at every prenatal visit starting at, you know, week 20 or 24 usually. And it's a vertical measurement of your abdomen. Okay. So they check from your pubic bone, the very top of your pubic bone to the very top of your uterus. And that number, however many centimeters it is, it should match up to how many weeks you are. So if you're 24 weeks, it should be about 24 centimeters from your pubic bone to the top of your fundus, regardless of your weight or the size of your belly or anything. Your fundus should be consistent regardless of any of those factors. So like I said, it should be about 24 centimeters if you're 24 weeks, plus or minus like 2. But the thing with fundal heights is we want to be checking fundal heights because we want to be checking if they are trending up or trending down, right? So let's say that at 24 weeks, you're measuring 24. And then 28 weeks, you're measuring 26. So that's a little bit less, but still within that 2, right? And your provider's like, oh, okay, let's come back at like 30 weeks, right? Make sure it's not, you're not trending down. And then 30 weeks, maybe you go in and it's only 27. So it's going down. So your provider's like, let's just check an ultrasound and make sure things are going okay. So yeah, fundal height, always done past that 20-week mark.
Ever wonder why prenatal care is so important or why you do the things that you do at every appointment? Making the most of your prenatal care is my free mini class for pregnant mamas that want to learn exactly what to expect from their prenatal appointments from week 4 all the way to birth. Get instant access to the full 40-minute workshop, unlimited replays, and a free printable workbook with key ideas from the class and a glossary of tests and important terms. This free workshop was designed to benefit all pregnant women, no matter where you're at in your journey. So whether you just got that positive test or you're due in a few weeks, I can guarantee that you'll learn something new. Sign up today at mommylabornurse.com/prenatal workshop. That's mommylabornurse.com/prenatal workshop for instant access to this free info-packed workshop.
As your pregnancy progresses too, another thing that your provider will do is just check on your abdomen, kind of put their hands on your abdomen to feel the position of your baby. And this isn't a exact science, right? Obviously, there can be mistakes, right? Your provider can say, oh yeah, your baby's head down. They put their hands on your belly and they're like, oh yeah, your baby's head down. And then they're not head down, right? So it can be somewhat inaccurate sometimes, but this is just something, you know, you'll do as your belly is getting bigger, as your baby's getting bigger. And then the last thing that should be done is always a discussion with your provider. There should always be that time at the end of all of these things, right? All of the little checks that you have the opportunity to ask your provider questions. If you have any questions, talk about any upcoming milestones or, you know, any questions about screenings, anything like that. Don't be shy. A good tip I have is have a little open note in your phone. If you've got an iPhone or Android or whatever, have a little note that you can just plop in questions throughout the week, because I found that when I would get to my prenatal appointment, I would be like, I knew I had a question, but I can't remember. So just make sure you're writing them down somewhere so you don't forget. And I forgot to number these, right? But that was tip number one. Okay, I remember we're going over 10 helpful ways you can rock your prenatal visit. So tip number one is make sure you're writing down those questions in between those weeks, in between your appointments. Tip number two is schedule morning visits if possible. This is obviously, you know, it's whatever works best for your schedule, but I found that morning visits are good for a few reasons. Number one, your weight will be a little bit more accurate in the morning. And like I said before, sometimes the weighing, right, can be stressful for some people. So if you're always at a morning visit and you're consistently at morning visits, you don't have a whole days of food in you, a whole days of things you've been doing, right? You're kind of at zero. I hope, you know, eat breakfast before you come to your prenatal visits. But the earlier in the day, the better, I've found. Another reason morning visits are better is, I'll tell you a little secret, just like you probably get a little tired at the end of your day at work. So do providers. And sometimes things pop up too, and it gets a little bit busy in the afternoon. Clinics usually reserve time for these types of visits, like drop-in visits in the afternoon, so they don't overschedule. But sometimes even the afternoon, it can be crazy. So the morning, it's usually a little bit more chill, and your providers, it's not crazy busy yet, hopefully. They're just a little bit less concerned about running over time because they have their lunchtime built in. It's before the lunch, right? And they're not trying to squeeze all these people in right before the end of the day. So tip number two is schedule morning visits. Tip number three is request a printout of your next tests and ultrasounds. Most of the time, providers just skip the step of printing out your visit summary at each visit, right? It's like in your chart, right? But it does benefit you to have a clear list of the stuff that we did and the ultrasound, you know, if we did an ultrasound or the test that we did, what we talked about. So instead of you trying to remember, you know, and writing down, okay, I think this is coming up and I did this, just they can print you off a little summary. Tip number four is bring your partner. I'm a big advocate of like partners to try and come to almost every single prenatal visit if possible. You guys are a team, right? If you have a partner, bring your partner, but leave your kids at home. If you can, obviously, you know, some people can't, but try to bring your partner, not your kids, because pregnancy fog, the mind, the issues that we have with our brains, pregnancy brain, is real. So if you have your partner with you, even if you've got your note up that you've been taking down your questions, right, your partner's there without a pregnancy brain, and they might help to remember some things that, you know, we were talking about that were concerning, or they might have questions too that they want to ask. They just, you know, you got one pregnancy brain in there and you got another non-pregnancy brain. And then as far as kids, we all know this, if you have kids, right? If you don't, you will know if you're pregnant. But sometimes kids can be a little bit distracting, both you and the provider. And it's totally understandable. If you don't have childcare for your prenatal visit, it's fine. It's totally fine. But it will help you to be a little bit more focused and calm and collected in that appointment if your kiddos are elsewhere. So try and leave your kids at home, but if you have to bring them, it's fine. Tip number five is bring everything with you. Okay, and what does that mean, Liesl? I'll tell you. Bring your vitamins, bring your support hose, your TED hose, bring your belly band, bring your blood pressure recordings that you've done, bring your breast pump, bring your breast, bring your breast pump. I can't say that. Bring your breast pump, bring your blood sugar numbers, bring anything with you. If you want it to be reviewed, just bring it. So if you have a certain question about something like, I'm taking these prenatal vitamins, here you go, provider. Are these cool? You can have them in your hand and they can just take a look at them right there and answer questions. Same goes for a belt or whatever it is. You have it there, it can be really, really helpful to get an answer. All right, the sound of that heartbeat means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. This one says, hey, Liesl, I am a first-time mom, and I took your Birth It Up the Natural Series course this summer. I'm so glad I did, as I ended up laboring at home for 24 hours. Ooh, that's a long time. That's a long time. She said, 24 hours upon being assessed by my midwives, I was 8 to 9 centimeters dilated. Okay. And I was about to have a baby at my midwife clinic. Yeah, sounds like it. I was so grateful to have the birth I truly wanted, and I felt I was definitely more successful in being able to labor at home for so long, only 4 hours at the clinic, until baby girl came out with only half an hour of pushing. Awesome. She says, I'm a nurse myself and maybe thinking of making the switch to L&D post-maternity leave. Oh, that just warms my heart. Oh, I'm so happy. If you want to have an even better birth just like this mama, head on over to mommylabornurse.com/courses to learn more about our 3 online on-demand birth classes. Tip number 6 is don't be afraid to come in sooner than your visit. So let's say you have a visit coming up, but you're not feeling your baby move as much this week, but you're like, oh, I have a visit in a couple of days. We'll get it checked out then. It's fine. No, don't wait. Always come in. If you ever have that mom sense that something's going on, it doesn't, you know, whether it's movement or anything, you have a weird headache, you've just been feeling weird. I don't know. We would rather you come, okay? Come. Please come in and get it checked out. It's usually pretty easy to figure out if something is worrisome or not. And we would rather you come in than sit at home and worry, or God forbid, something bad happen, right? That's why you have a prenatal clinic, right? It's not just for these regular appointments. We're here if you need us. Tip number 7 is for specifically moms who are looking to VBAC, okay? So if you're considering a VBAC, I want you to ask to review the consent form, because you're going to sign a consent form if you come into the hospital and want to be back. So try to review that with your provider before you get to the hospital. We've talked about VBACs here on the podcast before. Obviously, I'm very pro VBAC. I work at a great facility that, you know, we love VBACs, right? But there are risks with VBACs, just as there are risks with C-sections. So we just want to make sure that we're reviewing that consent form and having that conversation with your provider before you get to the hospital. Tip number 8 is for people who have back issues, scoliosis. If you have scoliosis, listen up if you want an epidural. If you have scoliosis, I want you to ask if you need to make a visit with your anesthesia team, because oftentimes if you have back issues and you are wanting an epidural, your anesthesia team will want to review previous x-rays that you've had, or if you've had surgery or something on your back, they want to know that before you're in labor getting your epidural. So if you have any back issues like this, make sure you bring this up to your provider if you're interested in getting an epidural, because very often times I've definitely had it happen to patients and they didn't know. They came in, they had scoliosis, they had previous back surgery, and the anesthesia team was like, no, I can't, I don't know what's going on in there. Like, I can't give you an epidural. I don't have any sort of records to look at. So just make sure if you have that going on, you ask if you need to make a visit with anesthesia prior to birth, because very often you do. Tip number 9 is wear clothes that allow for easy access to your belly. Then you don't have to even like take your pants off or anything. If you have a nice t-shirt that is flowy, right, you can just lift it up instead of having to take the whole shirt off if it's like tight or something. Or if you have a maxi dress, you don't have to pull that thing all the way up, right? Try to wear something that's like easily accessible to your belly. So then it's just quicker. You don't have to deal with getting undressed, because as you get bigger, it's going to be harder to just put on and take off clothes. So just do yourself a favor and have your belly easily accessible. And then tip number 10 is not about the actual visits. This is not something that we're going to be doing at the visits. But tip number 10 is keep your provider's name and number on your refrigerator. Sometimes I've seen it where providers will actually give you like a little magnet that you can stick on your fridge, the number of their office, and some signs to look out for and to call, like if you have a, you know, a headache that's not going away, or you're not feeling your baby move or something like that. But if your provider doesn't give you that, have your provider's phone number up there on the fridge, or if you have a whiteboard or something in your house, I don't know, but have it somewhere like centrally located in the house. It's just always in your face what your provider's phone number is, and then some worrisome signs of when you should call your provider. So those are a headache that's not going away, if you've not been feeling your baby move, if you're having any bleeding, if you feel like your water's broken, you're having any leakage of fluids, or if you're having pain, you're having abdominal pain, any sort of pain, give your provider a call. There are a few other ones too, but those are the main ones. And yeah, that's a wrap for this episode. 10 nice, helpful little tips that you can use to rock your prenatal visits, because I don't know about you, but I kind of enjoyed going to my prenatal visits. It was like a little break and a little check-in, get to hear the baby's heartbeat. And if you can do anything to just make the experience a little bit better, like, why wouldn't you, right? Yes. So next week on the podcast, what are we doing? We are doing another solo episode. I know that because I'm about to record it right now. But guess what we're going to be talking about? Sex. Yeah, we're going there. We're going to be talking about some taboo things. No, just kidding. But it's going to be a very helpful episode. So we're going to be talking about sex during pregnancy. It's just me and you next week again. So I will see you guys same time, same place next week.
Already feeling a little more confident about pregnancy, birth, and newborn life? Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you can continue to erase the unknowns and never miss an episode. And if you're looking for even more, Instagram is definitely where I hang out the most. Come join our community of more than 500,000 moms for birth education, tips, and solidarity. You can find me at mommy.labornurse. Check out today's show notes and a searchable library of every Mommy Labor Nurse podcast episode at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. And while you're there, be sure to head to the blog to learn about our online birth classes too. See you next week. And remember, you can have an even better birth no matter how you deliver.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.